Now I'm coming all the way down to Enugu, where I had only been to once in my life as a medical student. I think I was just going to say, my spirit just said, go. I prayed. No, listen, I did. And God gave many signs. One of them was when I met one brother, Prebo. Prebo, how now? Ah, long time. You know, we just after a while, you know, the way sometimes you're gisting with somebody, gist go just dry for no reason. Then the guy just woke up with gist. He said, Enugu is a very nice place. Do you know that? He didn't know I was considering going to Enugu. That was a sign. God leads by signs. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? God leads by signs. Look, and let's listen. This, you know, that's not even a difficult thing. You know, coming to Enugu, it's still Nigeria. My friend Chooks was one of my closest friends in the world. He was living in Enugu here. So that was not even hard. Remember, we just say, come to Maiduguri. Oh boy, you will pray. You will pray. You know this one that you're doing. My spirit just said I should go. If there's riot on the road, you will tell your spirit, excuse me, wait, come first. Well, are you sure you're the one that spoke? Let's be sure. No, God is kind. He says so that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. What it means is that sometimes God gives you one sign after another to confirm your heart. You see that in the case of Gideon. After all of this, after this please thing, God said, fine. At least, God, I know you're going to deliver the people through me. After fleecing, all right? And after they are shouted, everybody come, what day? We are going to win. 32,000 people gathered. And Gideon looked and said, all right, God, I knew we were going to win. Thank you. I knew. I mean, if I want you to show that sign, it confirms something I had in my spirit. All that one he says, because he's seen 32,000 people. Then God answered. He said, oh boy, there are too many. He said, what do you mean there are too many? He said, you know, what do you mean there are too many? 2,000 people. Do you know how many there are on the other side? God said, listen, my friend, I am the one that's giving you the victory. If you guys take victory with 32,000 people, you will think it is because we are plenty. And that's one thing. Let me tell you, just by the way, we'll discuss these things along the way. We're talking about money matters. God can save with a few, can save with a multitude. The reason why he saves with a multitude is to allow everybody just to participate in what God is doing. It doesn't mean he needs them. So if they are going to have a wrong impression of what their role is in the work of God, God will drop them sharp. These ones, they obviously thought their strength was needed. So God looked at Gideon and said, send them home. Anybody who is afraid. And please, if you don't say you're not sure, you say you won't go this battle. Yeah? Go house. 22,000. Say thank you, sir. Oh boy, if you are Gideon, you go lose that sharp. I mean, shrink to 10,000 instantly. You know, let me tell you what. What they are doing is not just the fact that they departed. They are spreading their fear because it was fear that made them depart. Oh boy, their fear began to affect Gideon. While Gideon was still considering it, God said, 10,000. Yeah, I think there are still too many. Okay. They have dropped from 32,000 to 10,000. He said, you know what we are going to do? Tell them to go and drink water. Anyone who laps water like this, keep him on this side. I don't know how many people were lapping water properly. I think 350 or 300 people. Yes, 300 men. God now said, it is those 300 people that we are going to use. Wow. Oh boy. After fleecing and hearing God, only 300 people who were drinking water in a funny manner. That is the only criteria for choosing them. The only criterion is that they were drinking water funny. No, they were not chosen for their strength or their boldness, just that they were drinking water funny. I'm bringing out something. God, who is so kind, in verse 9, he saw the heart of Gideon. He said, now, verse 9, now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given you into their hands. Now, but notice verse 10, he said, but if you are afraid to go down, let me give you another sign. Go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And afterward, your hands will be strengthened, that you may go down against the camp. So Gideon went down with his servant, and when he got there, he heard two Midianites discussing. One said, I had a funny dream. He said, what kind of dream? I dreamt that one loaf of bread rolled and hit a tent, and the tent collapsed. A loaf of bread. You know, I told you that Gideon had been stirring up strife. Remember I told you that? The other Midianite said, it is Gideon. It is Gideon. I know it is Gideon. I knew we're in trouble when we came for this battle. See the kind of dream we are dreaming now. Once Gideon heard that, he took courage. Now, I'm bringing out something. Now, listen. If it was possible for you to appear before the throne of God and see all the plan of God ahead of time, are you getting my point? And you had the spirit of faith so great, all right? Like the tide that was in Jesus Christ, you came up onto the earth, you wouldn't need all of this. Except that that's not what is going on. Except that the Bible says he's mindful that we are but flesh. Except that you can't see far beyond that which is in front of you. Do you get my point? And God who is kind. Now let me tell you something about God. I said before that it's how you walk habitually that matters. That's the first thing. Abimelech, in his days, was a righteous man. One thing he did not use to do, as powerful as he was as a king, he didn't use to take another person's wife. And those days, as a king, if you did that, you're a good man. That is, if you said, anybody's property, I will not touch. God will spare you. He could marry 1,000 wives. God will not complain. But once they label a girl as already engaged to be married, Abimelech will keep off. The day he took Sarah, do you get the point? He did not know. They said it's his sister. And that was why God went and told him in a dream, you're a dead man. You're dead. He said, Ikuke, which kind of death is that one? He said, you took a man's wife. The guy said, well, light a lie. Do you get my point? He said, you know how I have walked, at least in that area, if no other area. And God said, all right. I know. That is why I have come to tell you. Are you getting my point? That is when you decided to, when you happened to go wrong unknowingly, then I appeared to you in a dream and I stopped you. A friend of mine called me a few days ago. Said that, before they had said that they were going for a funeral. A very close person, you know, today, like a grandparent, but very, very dear to the family. And a few days later, he called me and said that he didn't go again. And for the way he had described how their parents really wanted them to come and everything, I was like, what happened? He said, he dreamt one funny dream. Second, his wife dreamt another funny dream. He told me the funny dreams. So by the time he put the two dreams together, I said, no, it is not the will of God to go for this journey. That is, it was a journey they would have gone for. One or two things went wrong. Then one or two dreams were added to it. Do you get my point? Put everything together. I said, no, we are not going for this journey. Because otherwise, they would have gone. Please, do you get the point I'm making here? What I'm saying, is it clear to you? Now, I've analyzed this issue of Gideon because people ask the question, is it okay to flee? I've read Christian books saying no. Ever since the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, we now know the mind of God by we check our spirit. You will pray until your spirit decides which one is the will of God. A Christian should not flee. Please, that doesn't make sense to me. A Christian doesn't go around every day, give God, show me a sign, show me a sign. Yes, I agree with that. But a few times in your life, and believe me, it will be a few times, very few times, you will get to certain crossroads you won't know what to do. If you have read around enough, you have seen that till today, God sends signs to people. I read a story long ago of a man who was in an airport. He was kind of lost. He didn't know exactly what to do next. Then he saw a guy walk up. He said, the guy looked like a prince. He said, you see his stand, eh? The guy looked like royalty. And the man put down his briefcase, opened it and brought out the book. And turned the book over. And on the cover of the book, the title of the book was written bold, like in gold. He read it. As soon as he finished reading it, that is he observing the man. This really happened. As soon as he finished reading it, the man folded the book again, took the off the book again, put it back in the briefcase, closed the briefcase, and walked away. And he realized it was an angel. The guy vanished. An angel just came gave him a message from the Lord. He said when the guy approached, he knew this guy looks different. He just looks like royalty. Next thing, the guy vanished. And he realized that God had given him a sign by an angel. Do you get my point? And the thing was written clearly. What am I trying to explain? No, we don't go around fleecing and giving God, you know, this thing. No, if this will happen, if that will happen. In fact, this is a matter of fact. Most times, before you even make an offer, God, let this happen so that this might happen. He will make something happen that you will know what is his will. Do you get my point? When the Bible said that he directs your steps, he said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Every time. That's why one of the most important Christian practices is to give God thanks before you eat food. It's a sign of acknowledging him in all your ways. In everything that you do, you acknowledge him. You don't have a car, you enter a bus. When you come down, you stretch your back. Father, I thank you for that ride. I had money to pay. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You are driving, the tire goes down. You come down, look at this. Father, I thank you that this, at least I have a spare tire. And in case you don't have a spare tire, Father, I thank you that it's just a flat tire. In all your ways, you acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now, this part, I want you to understand that when he says that he will direct your path, what it means, he doesn't always whisper to you, but this is one thing that is sure. He will let you know which direction to go at each particular point in time. That's the way it works normally. That your flat tire may be a sign from God. I told a story here, was it last week or a few 2 weeks ago, about the man whose car stopped for nothing. But God was just calling him to go and help somebody who needed help. I said, the will of God is not always the one that blesses you. The will of God, a lot of times, but most times, is the one that you use to bless other people. It's the assignment that you perform. That's what's God's will, most times. God leads. But I'm saying that occasionally, you will get to a point God's not saying anything. It appears like. James said, what do you do? He said, I don't know. If any man lack wisdom, then he prays. Are you getting me? Sometimes, the man will say, God, if you really want me to go here, let fire fall down from heaven and consume that tree. It sounds crazy, right? But one day you will do something that crazy. And to your amazement, fire will fall down from heaven and it will consume the tree. You say, what about Satan? What if Satan wants to deceive you? He doesn't have that power if you are not a man who is normally disobedient to God. We make Satan look like he's the Lord of everything. He deceives me when he wants to deceive me. Is he mad? Nobody gave him that power. Let's get that one clear. If I don't want to be deceived, Satan can't deceive me. The prophets that came before Ahab and Jehoshaphat and were prophesying lies, it was because Ahab wanted to hear lies. Could they deceive Jehoshaphat? They prophesied and prophesied and Jehoshaphat looked at them. Something is wrong with all these people. Satan can't just wake up in the morning and deceive me. The reason why he deceives people, let me emphasize it again, is because normally they don't want to hear God. And what do you mean? Because in the things that are revealed, in the things that are already revealed, they are walking in disobedience. They are now looking for special communication. Do you get the point? Listen, let's forget this issue of saying, this is Old Testament, this is New Testament. Listen, under the Old Testament, a wicked man casting lot, we see wicked, what do you call it, result. A righteous man casting lot will have seen a righteous result. Please, what I'm saying, I believe that is clear to us. Let's just read this scripture. Proverbs chapter 16. He said, the lot is cast. That's verse 33. He said, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. There's something, I just want to read that story because we're referring to it again and again. Just bear that in mind. I said we're going to read three scriptures. This is the second one. The book of Acts. Acts I've referred to it, of course, so many times. I just want us to read this. Maybe we'll find one or two things. Now, of course, this is after the whole Jesus had left them. Verse 15, Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together and said, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his portion in this ministry. But this man acquired a field. He said, now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness and all of that, and all of that. All right? Now, let's narrate from verse 20. It says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and his office let another take. He said, therefore, in verse 21, it is therefore necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection. Now they put forward two men. That is, those are the only two that could be found after using this criteria that Peter put forward. Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show which one of these two thou hast chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Now, I just wanted to read that scripture to emphasize the things that we have said. Please, let's not ever forget this as Christians. I'm going to round this one up here, because this issue of lots thing is what I really wanted to talk about. Now, let's never forget this one as Christians. I said that God has something to say about everything. Don't ever forget that. And this is one thing we should also bear in mind. He doesn't always communicate. You know, I thought about it. God doesn't give instructions all the time. You know, direct instructions. We need to hear this clearly. And you can't persuade him to do it. Why doesn't he? I don't know, but I have an idea. You know why I think he doesn't give instructions all the time? Because he created human beings, not machines. I don't know whether you get that point. He created what? Human beings and not machines. He actually expects you to develop. Now, let's get this thing. And to make decisions, as it were, by yourself. And those decisions will be in accordance with his will. But what he does is that he trains people. And that's where I've been laying my emphasis. If you've been noticing, I've been laying my emphasis on that thing. That he does what? He trains people. He trains them so that they will know what the will of God is. Do you get what I want to say? When I say no, now, you know, we like to think like, I have prayed and I have checked. You know, like, and when I was praying, I saw a vision and I saw where it is written that this is the will of God. Now, that is good. That is not bad. But really, that's not God's ideal. When God said that you may know that which is the will of God, you know, so that you may prove that which is God's will, what he means is simple. What he means is that not only will you find out that it's been written as this is God's will, but it will be good to you. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. That is, you will get to a point where the will of God is good to your soul. So that even if it doesn't say anything, that's what you still will choose. And I want us to understand that. That's what God is going for. That's why I said that thing jokingly. But it's a matter of fact. It lays the emphasis very well. Somebody said to me, did God speak to you about your wife? I said, he did. What did he say? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. Before that, God didn't say anything. No, I said, wait. Oh. I married the woman that I liked. I know I've said it before, but I should say it too, that you hear very well. I married the woman that I liked. The issue is, okay, how do you know that was the one that God wanted? If he didn't want it, he would have stopped it.
The main issue with God is, which kind of person are you liking, Banky? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. What kind of person have you begun to like? And with God, that is number one. You know, you know, there's one joke that people play. Joke about marriage a bit. When it's time to marry, guys go to church, babes go to church. You know, human beings are very funny. Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, I've seen guys do this before. Let me just, look, so that you can tell your friends. The man does it. Bad boy. You know what I mean by bad boy? Bad boy. But when he's time to marry, he wants a good girl. Are you mad? Bad boy wants to marry and he wants a good girl. Bad girl wants to marry. She wants a good guy. What kind of people do you think? Do you think God is crazy? No, you know what God does? God says, no trouble. As bad boys, they go to church, go find good girls. So now, so good, bad girl, come to church, come find good guy. They go meet for there. Nothing spoil. I'm telling you. I said, God can deceive you. I've told you. God can deceive you. He's very, very good with it. He said to the deceptive, I show myself as, you know what I'm saying? We do it to ourselves. That's what God is saying. You understand? I will show you that I can be twisted. Look, I have seen this one. I've seen it a number of times. The guy come, you say, okay, come church, finish. And then at church or house, whatever it is, you go find one young, innocent guy and say, hey, God. You know what they call seed? Listen, the criminal of 50 years old, a man who's 50 and a tough crook, do you know there was a time he was 2 years old? You know there was a time he was small? Good. How much more is Jezebel? She was also 17 at the time. So the guy thinks it's by catching the girl when she's 17, 18, 19 that makes you a good wife. Ah, error. God said, I will show you no wahala. The madam of witchcraft, why she's still small, you go marry him. No, really. No, that's what God does to people. So Bobo go come to church, say, praise God. Amen, brother. As he's doing amen, looking around for all the young women. Fine. God said, fine. He said, Jezebel, you don't ready? He said, yes, sir. Go to church. Jezebel too go dress. You don't go wear earring. Go. Why should you wear earring? You have to look at me. And then, as worship is going on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The guy said, Father God, thank you. No need to wave hand. You go see. I even jump on the floor, roll on the floor to the left. Oh, Father, I worship. I worship. I worship. Gabriel go lose it now. Wow. That's angel. Sister Jezebel just rolling in torment. They think it's worship. They didn't know it's our evil spirits are rolling on the floor. The guy thinks it's worship. And then they go marry. I've seen it. I've seen it. At least I have two good stories in my head as I'm telling you like this. Two in my head. In both cases, after a short while, the wife packed back. Waka come up for house. Listen to me. Look, that's what I'm going to emphasize. It is not the one of I heard God speak. Do you get what I'm saying? It is that I first built myself into the person that loves what God loves. And listen, after that, talking about marriage matter, I marry who I like. Do you get the point? You say, what do you mean you marry who you like? It's simple. I have learned God's criteria. When I said I marry well, it doesn't mean that I have my own ideas. No. If you read my book, Choice is Key to Destiny, I describe that in there. Whose criteria are these? When we're young those days, on campus, they told us, God can give you anything you want. You put 10, you know, put photograph, what do you call it? Description of 10 qualities you want in somebody, a man or a woman. And you look at it and say, God, these are this. And you go specifically and God will give you exactly what you are looking for. Fine. Now, is that true? Yes, I think it is true, actually. Except that before God even sanctions that list, he wants to know how you prepare the list. Do you follow what I'm saying? How did you prepare the list? What's on number one? I think that the brother should be at least 5 feet 10 inches tall. Oh, Banky is too short for you, eh?
So no, God said, I'm just asking. So somebody like Bank is too short for you. You know, I'm quite a short guy. In case you think I'm tall, I'm short, you know. He said, hey. He said, gosh, okay, drop that one. He said, fine, so let's drop it. Any other thing? I'm coming to the point. He said, I want his sister to be this particular complex. He said, why? What is the reason? Just give me an explanation. There's no good explanation, so let's put a number 10. Let's put something else on top. I'm bringing out something. The Bible says that you must learn to approve the things that are excellent. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Read verses 9 and 10. He said that you may learn to approve those things that are what? Excellent. When you are putting a list of 10 on the board, let's ask ourselves, well, how did we come up with that list? He said, at least, like one sister told me once, a car is not a luxury. I said, I don't think so. So what's wrong with the brother having a car? Nothing. So if he doesn't have a car, you won't marry him. She looked at me. Answer me now. No, it sounds funny, you know, Pastor, you understand what I'm saying? I understand what you are saying. I'm just telling you also that what you are telling me, that if he doesn't have a car, you won't marry him. So until the man of the will of God has a car, you won't marry him. Well, why are you putting it like that? But because that's exactly how it is. So we drop our criteria down, you know, the car goes down to number 26 or something like that. Do you understand the point I'm making? Yeah, so how do we put those things on top? What do we put on top? You say, God can give. Yes, I believe you, absolutely. One want to ask, for qualities. We ask for things that are what? Excellent. That simple thing. Now, if I say it, it may sound funny. But look, Lord, I want a man who whatever he says, I will believe. That's a good quality. The law of crooks out there who call themselves brothers. I hope you know that. If any man who lies to you, listen, sisters, any man who lies to you, don't marry him. Guys, any lady who lies to you, don't marry her. In Jesus' name, I command you, though, even if you saw in a vision, tell God to introduce the vision again. That you need a Gideon sign. No? You need a Gideon sign. You need a Gideon sign. No? I told you, look, for me, this was banking. I'm running off my message now. One day, a sister asked me, say, what exactly do you like in a... I wasn't married then. What exactly do you like in a woman? I told her three things. I noticed what she said. That's why I remember that conversation. She said, I asked you the same question about 2 years ago. You told me exactly the same three. I didn't even know we had that discussion. And for me, it was simple. Let me give it to you to help you again. I said, number one, I loved people who love the Lord. Do you understand my point? Remember, I love the Lord. I want people who want to say, if loving the Lord is right, wrong, I don't want to be right. You made that joke? Yes. Now that's theoretic, you know, just theoretically loving the Lord. Yeah, but what do I mean by loving the Lord in practice? I love those who loved the word of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, for me, it's paramount. If you wanted to lose me as a single man those days, let me visit you three times. And three times you are reading, today Robert Ludlum, tomorrow Sidney Sheldon, the third day is maybe Jackie Collins. Just know you've lost me. We won't talk. I won't quarrel. I just say, what are you reading, Robert Ludlum? All right. Okay. We won't talk. I won't quarrel, but I have gone away. I have gone away. No, really, that's just the kind of person I was. That is one. Then number two, I said, look, I'm a teacher of the word. Any woman who doesn't believe I can teach is not the will of God. That is, God doesn't even need to talk. You don't need to tell me that, Banky, I don't want to marry that lady. You don't even need to say it. She doesn't think I can teach. When issues come up, we argue. She doesn't learn from me, we argue. Do you get my point? Now listen, I'm not saying it's wrong to argue with me, but I just won't marry you, that is all. No, you can argue with me on cooking, you know, where should rice go in first before the tomato when you are cooking fried rice? I have no problem with that, I'm not a cook. No, really, you can argue with me on weather. Does thunder go before lightning or lightning before weather? I won't argue with you on that. But on scripture, wait. No, I'm serious. I told you the fulfillment for me was one day my wife gave me a book and put on it, to my husband T. teacher and mentor. I say in Jesus' name, amen. No, see, it for me was common sense. And third of all, I couldn't stand disrespectful people. At least two women I cautioned in life. I said, look, stop talking to me like this. You may not think I'm older than you. Maybe really I'm not. I said, but I may. I said, your husband is my mate. You are not married yet, but whichever husband you marry is my mate. I said, people like you shouldn't talk to men like me like this. You will never marry a good husband like this. That was my opinion. I just couldn't stand it. I'll be talking to you. Just run your mouth anyhow. I said, what is wrong with you? You don't understand that Sarah respected her husband so much. Those three things, I couldn't budge on it. If God wanted me to budge, you would have showed up personally. No, if God wanted me to break those three things, or of course, there's another way I could break it. I backslide first. You know what I mean? I start smoking and drinking and partying. And I thought, you know what I mean? Hey, except I backslid. I couldn't break those three. You know, ask my wife. She will tell you. Not today I start. I'm talking before I met my wife. I just felt, how did I know? It was just, I read the scriptures. It's just a godly thing to do. So I put those three criteria down and I went around with it until I finally married my wife. And I said, yes, this is my three criteria embodied in flesh. Listen, are you getting what I'm saying? So did God say to you who you will marry? Yes. How did he confirm me? Finally, one day, do you, Daniel, Bankole Olushina, take Ufoma Iyazere to be thy love? He said, I hereby pronounce you man and wife. I said, you are a real man of God. Yes, that was when God finally spoke. Listen, if I needed to cast cast a lot, I would have done it. But I didn't need it. After I checked everything. I mean, if marriage isn't very easy, no person will agree for you, we will marry. And you can't propose to two people at the same time. And if one agrees and fits the criteria and God doesn't interrupt it and her father agrees, you will have finished the marriage and discovered the will of God before you need to cast lots. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes. Please, I hope I've made my point today. What's the summary of it, please? Church, there is nothing like, this is Old Testament, this is New Testament. A perfect heart towards God. If it gets to a crisis point, it decides to bring out a fleece, fine. But you will know when you are being ridiculous and when you are really seeking for an answer from the Lord. I hope you've gotten my point. All right, let's begin to give the Lord thanks, therefore.